It's been said that pain is the common denominator of life. No matter your socioeconomic status, your race, your gender, we've all found ourselves on our back in the middle of a valley. But God is inviting you to something different. He's inviting you to partner with Him to take back your story, to walk through this pathway of pain, and to live out a greater purpose.
Well, happy Mother's Day. So it's funny, this week we were trying to figure out which video to play, and Billy gave me a list of like 5 videos. He said, okay, pick one for before you guys get up there. And I'm on the first one, and I'm already bawling. And so when I'm sitting up here, I'm like, I'm not listening. So anyways, hopefully you got a little few tears. Sorry if I made you cry. I'm a crier. We do have Kleenexes all throughout the building if you guys need any. But so welcome out. Happy Mother's Day to everyone here today. Whether you're a biological mom, a stepmom, a godmother, a mentor, a spiritual mother, a dog mom, or simply someone who nurtures with a mom's heart, this day is for you. Today we're celebrating the journey of womanhood and motherhood through the lens of faith. So our theme is taking back your story, but obviously I'm here, God is still writing your story, right? Sometimes life doesn't unfold the way we imagined. Maybe we thought we would be in a different season by now. Maybe we faced unexpected detours, painful losses, or surprising blessings. But through it all, here's the truth, that God is not finished. And I'm going to say that again. God is not finished. He's still writing your story moment by moment and grace by grace. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone and the new is here. So today we're going to talk about what it means to trust the author of our stories, even when the plot twists are hard to understand. So I'm going to welcome this amazing panelist here of women. And so I'm going to have them go around the room and share a little bit about them, their name, their family, their background, blah, blah, blah. You guys get it, right? Alrighty, so I'm going to start here with this beautiful woman next to me who also happens to be my mother.
Hi, I'm Brenda Vogel. I'm Mandy's mom and Cynthia's mom. I have 2 kids. I have 8 grandkids. I used to be a full-time pastor, and now we're retired and live here with our family.
I'm Chrissy Myrick. My husband is your Next Gen director, and I've been serving as nursery director for quite some time now, and I have 3 kids, 10, 7, and 4, so I am right in the thick of motherhood, in the thick of it, they say, and yeah, that's a little about me.
And my name's Brandy Marsh, my husband is Kevin. We have a 4-year-old golden retriever named Jake, so I'm the dog mom of the group. And then been with the Innovation since 2017 and also served the children's ministry and other places in the church.
And I'm Mandy Holden, and I have 5 kids, so if some of you are newer, you may not know. My daughter was up here singing today. Didn't she do such a good job? I am choking up. I was like, oh, my baby. I don't get to see her sing very often, so thank you, Ron, for letting her sing today. So Charity is my oldest. She is 21. I have Billy, who's 19. Both of my college students are home for the summer, which is exciting. And it's also been fun with the mess in the basement. We have a 12-year-old, no, almost 12. Grayson will be 12 next week. And then we have our twins, Luna and Liam. So that is our clan, our chickens up there. And yeah, that is our crazy family right up there. So, all right, well, let's get started. You guys ready to get started? So, let's start at the beginning. When you were younger, how did you imagine your life and family would look? So I'm going to go to, I have some questions up here, okay? What do you think your life would have looked like by now?
I think it's hard to ever answer that question because it changes every time there's a new circumstance, right? A new chapter of your life turns over and then you think, well, now my life's going to look this way and now my life will look this way. Hard for me to ever answer that question.
Yeah, I think if I look back and reflect, like, I probably, when I was, you know, out of high school, thought I'll be married by 22 or 23, having kids at maybe 25, which at this point would mean I'd have like a 10-year-old. And quite honestly, I can't imagine juggling children in my current job. So I would say it looks very different than I probably initially planned or thought it would look like. But when I reflect back, for me, you know, having children was, I think, something, right? You're supposed to get married and you're supposed to have kids. And I think that's a societal or, you know, expectation. But for me, I've not felt that calling to have children on my life. And so I'm happy and content and glad that I am where God has put me.
Awesome. How has God surprised you in your journey? Has there been anything that has surprised you?
Well, I really thought I'd still be working full-time at this point. And, you know, we were living in Rochester, and we would see our grandkids maybe once a month. But I had some health issues, and then God made it possible for us to retire early and move here and be in the midst of our family. And so we've really enjoyed being able to, you know, just see them at the drop of a hat. One lives one block from us, and the others live 5 minutes from us, so it's been really good to be able to spend that time with them.
I know one thing for me is I never thought I would adopt. And so even through some of the challenges, which we'll talk a little bit about later, but just the idea of fostering and adopting, I never thought that in my future. And so I'm really happy that life worked out the way it did, because I couldn't imagine, I don't know about you guys, but my life without my crazy little 7-year-old twins running around. So sometimes we can get discouraged when our story doesn't look like the one we pictured. But remember, even the messy parts, even the waiting seasons, are chapters that God is using your good. So every story has some tension, right? Sometimes the plot twists are detours, delays, or seasons of waiting, where sometimes it feels like God is silent. That you're like, where are you, God, at this moment? So now, my next question for you guys is, was there a season when you felt stuck or forgotten?
There was a season where my mother came to live with us because she had some dementia and she needed some extra help, so we had her move into our house. And at the same time, I was struggling with some autoimmune issues. They were diagnosing me. I was still exhausted and having all kinds of problems, having even walking and getting around every day. And then Roger had a mental breakdown, and at that time, he was just really having a hard time with anxiety, and everything was in chaos, basically. And then one night, I went to bed, and I got a phone call from our 12-year-old granddaughter, who at the time was living in Fort Wayne, to tell us that our other daughter, Cynthia, had taken a bunch of pills and was taken to the hospital. So we went to Fort Wayne, and in that course of that time there, we were discovering that her fiancé had been lying about a lot of things. And so we were starting to notice that he would not let us be in the room with her alone. You know, he was always talking about things and saying things and not letting her talk. And so the more that went on, the more we found out that he was being abusive. And she had found out that he had had all these restraining orders put against him from other women, from children he had had in the past. Well, they were supposed to get married. They were going to go to Vegas and get married, and then they were going to have a reception in Fort Wayne. Well, they decided even though things weren't going well, they were still going to take this trip to Vegas because it was already paid for. So they were going to go as friends. They knew they weren't going to get married anymore, but they were still going to go and enjoy their time together. So she went, and then there again, we get a phone call in the middle of the night that he had beaten her up in Las Vegas and that he was in jail. So she came back to Fort Wayne, and it was just a really emotional time. She was getting, he was a firefighter, but he also worked at a crematory burning the bodies at night. And he was sending her photos of the bodies going through the crematory. And we had found out that he had had those attempted murder charges against him. So she had put a restraining order against him, and it was just a really emotional time. And then I was at her house, and she told me, "Mom, I'm going to the hospital." That's where she worked. Because there's a woman there that I ordered all of our cupcakes for our reception they were supposed to have, and I need to cancel this. So she took off and left. And then about 30 minutes later, I get this group text from her telling me goodbye, telling me that she couldn't do it anymore and that she was gonna go take her own life. And we had no idea where she was. And it was just, you know, it was just a really hard time in my life. And then she ended up within probably another 30 minutes calling us and telling us she wasn't gonna let a man do this to her, that she had prayed about it and she felt like God told her don't do that. And so she did not take the pills, but she still had to get some help mentally. And now she's doing wonderful. That's been like 12 years ago. And so now she owns a business, she teaches, she's got her PhD, she teaches at Purdue, and she's doing wonderful. God's got her through a lot and gotten us through a lot. But anyway, that was just a really, really hard season in my life as a mother.
Definitely hard when your kids do things and there's nothing you can do but stand back and just watch and pray. You have no control over the situation. Anybody else want to add to that?
Well, being in kids ministry, I'm going to give you more of an analogy, more so than a story. There's been, I can just go down a list and tell you so many hard times when I felt like, well, God's not here right now. Or I've ventured so far off course that there's no way I can come back. And there's been season after season of that. So what I like to tell the kids, like, it's okay to get off course. Let's pretend we're on a treadmill. And life is a treadmill. God set the pace of that treadmill. And he knows exactly how fast you need to walk and what obstacles are going to be in your way and how to guide you. But instead, you're on your own course. So you think you're in charge of that treadmill, and you just start running through life. I have to hurry up and find a guy. I have to hurry up and get married. I have to have kids. And you hurry through the treadmill. You're just going to get hurt. You're going to run right into the treadmill. You're going to fall off. You're going to scrape your knee. Life hurts when you don't stay on course. And so I try to keep telling the kids, you know, life's a treadmill. You got to go at the pace of God. And time after time in my life, God has kept reminding me, stay on that treadmill. I've got it already worked out for you. Just keep walking. And so I think during those times of silence, you just kind of have to think about that in your head as you're walking.
So there's something I've been praying about for probably a little over 7 years, and sometimes in that silence, it's hard, right? I know, I'm already gonna start. I'm gonna do this 3 services in a row, so tears are gonna be. But for me, it's always that my husband will find his relationship with the Lord. And so right before we got married, the God, you know, he gave me 1 Peter 3:1, which says, in the same way, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives. And so that was God's reassurance to me that, right, like, my husband will get there. As long as I walk the walk and I set the right example and I'm there to encourage. And so even though in 7 years we haven't necessarily seen that movement, just a few things God kind of put on my heart for today was, you know, if you're in prayer for your spouse's relationship with the Lord, you know, continue to shine God through your actions, your words, right? Continue to show them what the love of the Lord can do in their life as it's done in your own. But also, never lose hope or stop praying, because it could be 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years, right? But God will work it out in his own timing and for his good, as long as you're faithful in that. But then also, pray for yourself, right? Pray that your actions and your words reflect God's love and grace, and that you maintain that faith and strength Because I'll tell you, when God's working in your loved one's life, and you see them go through those like really hard things that you wish you could take from them, it can be easy to be discouraged, right? So make sure that you're also praying for yourself so that you can help that person grow in their seasons of struggle. And then just one other piece on that. I say this because I've seen the strong women and spouses in our congregation who gone through that, prayed for their spouses fervently, and seen them come to the Lord. So it does happen, and will. God promises us that.
One of the scriptures I love is Psalms 139. I just love the whole chapter, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just the fact that God knew us before we were born, and that he formed us in our mother's womb, and he knew every single thing about us. And that just is so special to me when I think about just my life and everything that I'm going through, that God knows he had a plan for me. He knew every good, he knew every bad thing that was going to happen. And I just, that right there just helps me feel better to know that he's going to work everything out. Genesis 50:20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done." So even when we can't see it, God is weaving redemption into every single page. Motherhood comes in many beautiful forms. Some raise children, some mentor, some lead, some nurture others' hearts. But every woman's story matters, whether it includes children biologically, spiritually, or not at all. And so I just want to kind of just go around a little bit and say, how do you define motherhood in your own life? Brandy, can we start with you? Because I know, I purposely chose her to be on this panel. Because, like I just said, motherhood comes in all different forms. And so, can you tell me a little bit about how do you define it? Being, you don't have children of your own, but you are a mother to many people. And so, if you could just speak into that.
I think, you know, support and nurture is how I think about mothers, right? And even myself, and I'm sure we are this way, right? When something goes wrong, who do we call? It's usually mom. Unless we want, like, really rallied up, then maybe we call dad. But, you know, I think there's a question kind of about managing, like, expectations and assumptions. And so for me, you know, I think when Kevin and I got married, right, there was this expectation of, like, oh, you're married. Like, you know, you guys are 28. Like, when are you going to have kids? Like, you better get on that, right? And this was something we had discussed before marriage, right? Like, I knew going into being married that kids was not something that Kevin wanted. So I didn't blindly go in thinking, like, I'm going to change his mind. And I will say, you know, it's something that we continue to discuss, really just to make sure that God hasn't changed our hearts or that we feel a different way about it. It is a topic that we continually kind of pulse each other on. And there have been things in our life that have kind of hit the pause button for us to say, you know, is this something we're still committed to? But, you know, ultimately, I love my career. God has blessed me with a job where I get to travel the world. And so I feel like when it comes to those expectations, right, like either I would have to sacrifice my career or my child would spend 12 hours a day at daycare. And my husband works second shift, so, you know, I wouldn't feel like I really had a partner. And so those are the things, you know, I think about. I think it's important, right, to reflect on what God's calling for your life, what God has provided. For me, my ministry is my job, and I have the most amazing coworkers who I'm able to talk to about the Lord. And so I mother my own parents, my sister, a lot of other people in my life probably wish I wouldn't, right? But I think, too, there's this assumptions piece that because I don't have children, that, like, my life isn't full or that it doesn't have meaning. And so, you know, there are other ways to be a mentor or a mother or lead people, whether that's just wisdom of life that you've learned or, you know, wisdom in the Lord. And so a mother really can be anybody who helps support and nurture you along the way, whether they're biologically your mom or not.
I know for me, so defining motherhood, obviously, we all know what being a mom is, right? I can tell you, being a mom with kids in all different stages of life is very interesting. So you got your grown kids, which is really fun having grown kids. You can have grown-up jokes with them. You can do fun things with them. You can watch
movies that aren't cartoons. And then we're going all the way down to kindergarten. So there's a big, vast age difference there. But one thing that I've loved about being a mom is just watching my kids grow and knowing that God is in control and that I, no matter how much I try to control things, that God proves time and time again that I am not in control. And so whatever your kids' actions or whatever the things that they do, it's just sitting back and loving them and supporting them. And so I definitely think in motherhood, like that whole helicopter mom thing, right? I try really hard not to do that. I try, like when my kids went to college, obviously I had to be there to unpack their dorm room, right? Because that's special, that's important. But not expecting that they're gonna call me every day, knowing, I mean, yes, I miss them, and sometimes, like, especially my son, I don't hear from him for like 2 weeks, but I know that he is growing and he's having the best time of his life, and God is doing big things in him, and so I just have to sit back, and when he does call me, I'm really excited. So I'm gonna skip down, so I wanna make sure you have enough room for some of the other questions. So trusting God as author of life means giving him the pen. So even when we're tempted to grab it back, like I talked about, the control thing, and try to write the story ourselves. Okay, ladies, is it easy or hard for you to trust that God is still writing your story?
I have no trouble trusting God for my story. Honestly, sometimes I feel like I have a little trust issue when it comes to letting go and letting him have my children. You know, I feel like I still want to jump in there and say, okay, I can help you, I can do this for you, you know, but God's telling me, do you think that you can take better care of them than me? You know, I've listened to his voice enough and went through enough issues with them that I've learned that. But it's been a harder journey than the journey of my own trust.
Okay, no, it's not easy. Every time a new situation pops up, our flesh is going to respond the same way. It's that whole fight or flight. We can't tell the difference between a bear attack and, you know, trying to pick out dinner tonight. So that's the kind of situation where us women wanting that control are always in. So I'm going to tell you, this is funny. This is a trick that I do, and
there's actually a slide for this.
Is there? Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, great. So I actually text God. So I went into my phone, and I changed my own contact information, so my own phone number, to God. That's the contact name, and I put a picture of his gloriousness just sitting there. That's what I want a picture in my head. And I will text God. So those text messages that you're just going off on somebody. I can't believe you did da-da-da-da-da-da. And then the Holy Spirit's like, oh, no, can't do that. So I just copy and I just paste it right to God, and this goes back to me anyway. So it's great because I get my whatever I need to say to God, you know, be with that person, help my heart, help their heart. Let's redeem the situation. And honestly, once it's sent, it works. It really feels like he heard me, it's in his hands now, we gotta move on, right? So it really does help, and it's silly, and it works. I don't know.
That's cute. Cute. I love it. It's a great idea. Brandy?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, there are seasons where things are hard to give to the Lord and trust, and then there's seasons where maybe they're a little easier. I mean, so right now I'm in this season where I'm in this, like, whole frozen, like, let it go. And I love that for me, right? But I know that that's not always the case. So it's one of those things, you know, I pray, Lord, like, help me remember this feeling and this ability of just peace to give it to you, because I know that there's going to be those situations. God tested me on this week, too. My own mother took 2 ambulance rides this week to the ER. And through that, right, like, I was like, you know, just don't let it be a stroke, right? And it wasn't a stroke. And we don't know what's going on yet, but this week he's tested that, like, you've been in a good place. Let's see if you can continue to, like, let me own it and handle it. And so, you know, I think it's storing up when you're in those good seasons, the things that you need, so that when you go through those hard seasons, the food's in the storehouse.
I think remembering to always trust in him through the good and the bad.
Yes, there's going to be good times. We're guaranteed we're going to have bad times. And it's not God that's causing that. It's just part of life, right? And so remembering when we're going through those rough times that God is going to get you through those times. And I know for me, that's what's helped me grow a lot, the most in my maturity, is when I have gone through the hard times. One thing I can definitely think of is, so two of my boys are diabetic. So Grayson and Billy, so the 19-year-old and the almost 12-year-old. And I definitely have to surrender control to God when it comes to that, because I lay in bed sometimes at night. I said I was not going to cry. I know. And it's so scary because I've seen them have seizures because their blood sugar has gone so low, and it's terrifying. And no matter how many times they've gone through that, it's super scary, and I don't handle it well. And luckily, I'm married to someone who's very calm in that situation, because I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm pacing the floor, and my head is spinning, and I don't know what to do. And at that moment, obviously, God is completely in control, and that's when you start praying, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, put your healing touch on his body, and let's give him some sugar. And so definitely having to give control when I lay in bed at night. Okay, I checked his blood sugar and he's good. And now it's all, you're in control, God. This is my baby and I give him to you. And so it's not always easy. I think for women, we want to control things. And sometimes I think we may have a harder issue with controlling than men. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Guys, do you struggle with control issues? Anybody here? Yeah, raise your hand. I think one thing important thing to remember is that God's still here. Your story isn't over, and God's faithfulness in the past gives you courage for today and tomorrow. So we're going to close today with some encouragement. So imagine you're speaking directly to the woman listening right now who feels stuck, behind, or forgotten. What would you say to encourage someone who feels like their best days are behind them?
I was always taught this saying, and I thought it so perfect. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And so until the day that we die, God has got a purpose for us. And so it's just learning the new seasons of that purpose. You know, what am I supposed to be doing now? You know, and sometimes, you know, you have to just really go to God, because he gives us all these detours. And I think of Mandy and Billy a lot when I think of this, because when they go on vacation, they find all of these little places to go to see new things. You know, and I think it's that way in our life. If God doesn't give us detours, we're going to miss those things. You know, we're going to miss seeing things that otherwise we would never go that direction. You know, and we miss those things. Or, you know, you've heard so many times that, you know, God stopped me from going there. And when that happened, I didn't know why, but then you find out later there might have been an accident. You know, God has a purpose. We just have to learn to live with that.
Some of you might have heard this before, but my favorite verse I like to go to is Psalm 103:5, and it says, "The Lord who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that you're youth is renewed like the eagles." I don't know if you're like me, but I don't read through the Bible in a year. It like takes me 2 years, because I like to research every verse in the Bible. What's going on? Why did they say that? So the youth of an eagles, I didn't know what that meant, being renewed like an eagle. So you look it up, and what an eagle does is halfway through its life, it will be so decrepit. So its talons are broken, its beak's mostly broken, it doesn't have many feathers left. So what it chooses to do is it can either fly up to the highest mountaintop and go through a super painful process where it plucks out every single one of its feathers, it plucks out its talons, and it crushes its beak. And then all of those things, like fingernails, they all end up growing back. But it's a very, very painful process. And basically, the bird kind of dies a little bit, and then it gets completely renewed, like it's back to its youth state, so that it can live out another half of its lifetime.
The other option for it is just to succumb to the earth, just to wither away and die because it won't have the strength to kill its prey and things like that. So when I think about that verse, I think every morning when I wake up, I'm going to choose life. When I'm so tired and I feel like I can't possibly do another day of the same thing again, of changing diapers, staying up all night with the baby or whatever it is, I choose life. I choose the Lord, and I think he's going to renew that strength. So I always go back to that Bible verse. It always means a lot to me. Yeah.
Brandy, what legacy do you hope to leave behind as a woman of faith?
Yeah. So this is something, my grandmother recently passed away, and at her funeral, really the message was this light that she was. They told this story about how, you know, she would put little flyers everywhere she went. And she went to the bank one day, put them in people's windshields, and when she came back out, somebody had thrown them in the trash. And this just broke her heart. She called my uncle crying and just thought, you know, how could somebody not want this beautiful gift that the Lord has for us, right? And so in her heartbreaking for people and wanting them to have this relationship with the Lord and her being such a light, like, I hope I can leave that same legacy. I mean, even at her funeral, we had 4 people saved and come to the Lord. And so, you know, on this side of life, I wanted to be known for praising and following the Lord. And when I'm done here, I'll be with the Lord. So, you know, nothing to fear there.
I know when we talked, when we were practicing for this, I think we all agreed that, you know, that legacy we want to leave is that when people think of us, they know that we loved God more than anything. We loved our families and our kids. You're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. Your past does not determine who you are. Your past prepares you for who you are to become. I like that one. And every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Well, I want to thank you guys, for your ladies, for your openness, your wisdom, and your vulnerability today. You've reminded us that no matter where we are on our journey, that God is still working, he's still redeeming, he's still loving, and yes, he's still writing. To every woman listening today, you are not forgotten. Your story matters, and know that it's not finished yet. Deuteronomy 7:9 says that, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Can you pray with us today? Lord God, we thank you, the one who writes our story. We confess that there's been moments that we don't understand your plan. But I know that when we look back, we see your faithfulness woven into every moment. And today we choose to trust you and what's ahead. Help us to remember that we are not alone and that you are not done with us yet. In Jesus' name, amen.